Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org, and click Find a Church.
As Easter begins and Passover comes to a close, let us remain ever mindful of the unity of purpose, the common bond for which they sacrificed all they had, and for which so many others have sacrificed so much.
Peter was the original Jonas brother, and his brother Andrew was the other, and they were followers of Jesus.
Happy Easter, everybody. How you doing? We want to thank Pastor Rick Warren for having us. We are so blessed to be here.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
Well, it's just like any other headline in the newspaper. There's a picture even of this skull. The headline reads, "Fossil may be missing link in human evolution." A little farther down in the story, a fossil skeleton of a child discovered in a cave system known as the Cradle of Humankind may represent a previously unknown stage in the evolution of man. They say from ape man to man ape. What is it really? Now, if you're trying to push evolution, I understand why every find like this is going to be some stage in human evolution. It's going to have to be some stage in human evolution in order to explain its existence. But if you're not, what do you think it really is? We're going to be talking about another reported discovery of a missing link in human evolution. Dr. John Morris joins us here for the first 10 minutes of this hour of Issues, Etc. It's Monday afternoon, April the 5th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. You can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Email us here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at issuesetc. In about 15 minutes, Pastor Bill Swirla joins us to talk about the various accounts of the resurrection, and they are various. Are they really different? That's the question. The various accounts of the resurrection according to the four Gospels. Pastor Bill Swirla in about 15 minutes. Dr. John Morris joins us. He's president of the Institute for Creation Research based in Dallas. Dr. Morris, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Well, greetings, Todd. Good to be with you.
If the paleontologists, the archaeologists involved in this find weren't trying to sell the idea of evolution, what do you think they would say they've discovered there in that cave?
Well, you know, Todd, it really is a little bit too early to tell. All I have seen is this one article. I've tried to search the web. I haven't found it yet. But the you know, what I really think they're doing is it's kind of a pattern that goes on. There'll be something found, and there'll be a major news release and worldwide press, and the discoverer gets a certain amount of notoriety and fame, and then, you know, over the next few days, if not the few weeks or a few months, people begin to look carefully at what he's found, and they say, no, this isn't so significant after all. In fact, just this last few months, there's been a couple of them that there was that fossil found called Ida. They even gave it a name, Ida. But it turned out to be just a primate. Even evolutionists now agree that it was kind of a lemur and nothing at all. And then there was the one Ardi, A-R-D-I, Ardipithecus, Ardi they call her. And they draw pictures of her as a nude woman, so to catch your attention. But it was a partial fragmented bone that was easy to dispute, and evolutionists have already started picking holes in that, and even they pick holes in it. So this is a kind of a pattern. There's an announcement made, and everybody says, oh, wow, this is wonderful, and evolution is proven, and no, it's not. No, it's not. Sober heads do prevail. Scientists do try to go after the truth most of the time, but they also go after press and fame, and I think that's what's happening here.
Okay, so in other words, it's too soon for anyone to make any kind of claim about what they've discovered in that cave.
Well, what they admit having found is, well, They say that usually the bone fragments are just fragments, and they might find a part of a skull cap, but it will be in like 100 different fragments, and they piece it together like a puzzle, and then they tell us they can tell how big the brain cavity was, and you know, how can they do this? But in this case, the species that they put it into is called Homo habilis, which actually means handy man, because they think that this creature was already starting to use its hands in a way that animals, apes, don't. But it's hard to tell. Just looking straight on, you can't tell if it's got a muzzle, if it's got a flat face. Humans have kind of a flat face, whereas animals have a muzzle that go out. You really can't tell that from this one photo that is in the news release. But I suppose that it's supposed to be being published in a journal, and then people will be able to see just what it is. But Homo habilis has always been kind of a mishmash category. Whatever they find that they doesn't fit into anything else, they just put it in Homo habilis. But I got to tell you, it's never been a good designation. What I am confident of is that there are apes. There are a whole variety of apes, or just a bunch of different kinds of apes. There's a lot of variety, and there's humans, and there's a lot of variety among humans. And each basic ethnic group has its own traits. Some are typically taller. Some have thicker bones and different things. But they're all humans. Humans are humans, and apes are apes, and there's nothing in between. Biblically, I stand on the Word of God, there is nothing in between. Humans did not come from the apes, and there's really no scientific evidence that supports that. Usually what they do is find a weird ape, and they say, see, this is on the way to becoming a human. Well, no, it's not. It's an ape. Maybe it's an extinct variety of ape, but apes are apes, and humans are humans, and never the twain shall meet. I think this will fall out in that category.
Ken in Orlando emails us. He says, wouldn't a missing link by definition have to be a transitional form that had at least some anatomical features that were morphing into those of the new species? All quote-unquote missing links seem to be fully formed with no half-formed features. Therefore, it's the evolutionists' presuppositions, not evidence, that actually connects apes and man. Your thoughts there on Ken's comment?
Todd, I think he is right on. He's identified the problem. Actually, a missing link. You know what a missing link is, don't you? I don't either. I mean, a missing link, we don't know what it is because it's missing. Evolution depends on millions of missing links, and they don't have any. They have a few that they can trot out and misrepresent for a week or two, and then it gets thrown out. But missing links are missing. For crying in the bucket, they're missing. Evolution is based on missing evidence. I think they just, it's like the emperor's new clothes. There are none. We're winning, guys. The creation idea is the one that's supported by science, not the lack of evidence, as evolution depends on.
I'm curious about the terms that are used in the story that I'm reading about this alleged missing link. It talks several times about a transition from ape man to man ape. What's that supposed to mean? Do you know?
I think it's words. I think it's just trying to substitute an idea, a hope for idea, for a true evidence, for the true fossil evidence. The fossil evidence isn't there. That's why they're so desperate to find it. But in this case, actually, if they've really found a fairly complete skeleton, we will be able to tell quite a bit about it. Usually they just find these little fragments and try to piece them together. But if this is fairly complete, that'll be a wonderful find, and we'll learn a lot. A scientist loves to learn, and evolutionists love to learn, and so do creationists. And we'll learn a lot from this. What we will also learn is that there's no evidence that the animals evolved into humans. These are two separate kinds.
Okay, so with just the few minutes that are left to us here, you've mentioned that several times. The biblical account of creation does give an accounting for, we wouldn't call it species because it's broader than that. It gives an accounting of kinds, and it's quite clear that these are different created kinds and that they reproduce after their kind. Make that clear for us with about a minute and a half before we close up.
Yeah, that's a good point. The Bible says 10 times in Genesis chapter 1 that God created the various kinds of plants and animals after their kind. God created the dogs. When he got around to creating dogs on day six, he created the dogs after that kind and the cats after that kind, and they weren't the same kind. He didn't take one and morph it into another, or he didn't take a hypothetical missing link and morph it into the other two. He created dogs as dogs. Now, dogs can vary, and it's this variation that evolutionists always point to as, see, there's evidence of evolution. No, it's not. It's just variation and adaptation. But that's not evolution of one basic category from another. Humans aren't referred to as being created after their kind. They're created in the image of God, totally separate from the animals. I think the apes were, I think there are several different categories of apes, different kinds of apes, the great apes, the chimpanzee types, and these are the different kinds. But they are all what they are, and there are different varieties of them, but they are not human. There's a great gulf between even the most human-like animal and the most animal-like human. It's just they are totally different. Apes and humans did not come from a common ancestor.
Dr. John Morris is president of the Institute for Creation Research based in Dallas. We'll post a link to the Institute for Creation Research under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Dr. Morris, thank you very much.
Hey, it's a pleasure. Thanks a bunch.
When we come back, we're going to talk about the various accounts of the resurrection. Each of the four Gospels carries at its end an account, a story of the resurrection. And if you look at all four of them side by side, even among those that we call the synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that in almost every other respect walk in almost lockstep through a general account, through a general outline. Even among the three that seem to agree the most in every other respect, there are some real remarkable apparent differences in the resurrection account between Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And then there's John's gospel that always tells things a little bit differently, always talks about things that the other three don't. We're going to talk about the resurrection of Christ according to the four gospels. Pastor Bill Swirla will be our guest. Stay tuned.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly. issuesetc.org. Stay connected. issuesetc.org.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.